Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Okay, that should do it.
But you're saying it after
No,
me.
But five was perfect, I noticed. I'll line up five. We did a very good five. Right. Okay. Right, well, now we're all lined up. Shall we tell the viewers what... The viewers. Shall we tell the listeners why we're so confused?
Very confusing. God, you spill the bit. Hang on. Before we do that, we'll just say hello to everyone. Okay. Hello, everyone. Whatever Works, your favourite podcast. It's now Wednesday. No, it's not. It's Saturday, the 9th of March, confusingly, because Aidan's got some commitments next week, so we've had to shuffle it forward a bit. And whateverworks.works is our website. Links to all the stuff we're going to talk about there. MeWe Group, as you know, is where we hope you'll come and join us and tell us whatever works in your life. AidanBell.com is for Aidan. And TedSalmon.com is for me. And yes, tell the listeners all about your audio woes.
Well, I won't tell them all about it because I think they'll fall asleep by the end of it. But just to say, if the show sounds a tad different this week, or this, what's the word for 3 weeks? This
time.
Tri-week. It's because I'm changing my mixing desk and I unplugged the old one and I nuked all the drivers and everything from the computer, put in the new one, set everything up and discovered that the new one just wasn't suitable to my needs and I didn't like it. So I sent it back. But I now have a computer that's got no drivers or anything for my old desk, and because it's a special computer that a friend made for me especially for the Aidan Bell Audio Network, I don't have a built-in sound card, so I ain't got no sound. So I'm listening to Ted through one of my monitors, not audio monitor, visual monitor. I'm actually listening to Ted through a Dell monitor. And I'm recording on my Zoom. So, ladies and gentlemen, every week when I used to say, oh, I hope one day I finally get to use the Zoom recording, well, this week I do. I am speaking to you upon it as we speak. So that's all, really. I'm just in the midst of housekeeping on my computer and don't have an audio set up at the moment.
Right, okay.
That was it.
But you will do next time.
By next time, I shall be coming to you with bells and whistles and knobs on.
Yamaha.
It'll be a Yamaha, yes. I'm downsizing slightly. I've had some changes in my studio environment at home, and I'm getting rid of my lovely, I wish I wasn't, my beautiful Presonus Audio Live AR-12 desk, which is fantastic and I love it, but it's just bigger than I need. I really don't need that any longer. So I'm downsizing to a lovely little Yamaha desk. I tried out a thing called Hercules 200 XLR, which just looked so cute. And I bought it for aesthetic reasons, because it looked wonderful next to my Stream Deck on the desk. Yeah. But, I mean, it's built for and meant for streamers, and I'm not a streamer. I've never streamed in my life, sir. So that went back, and I'm waiting for a much, much more sensible choice, which is a Yamaha. I forget the exact model number, but I'll no doubt talk about it next show.
Okay. And in the non-tech world?
In the non-tech world, business as usual, same old, gigging here and there once in a while, odds and sods, and taking care of my mum at home. Life goes on. How about yourself?
What about the Amazon delivery man who you...
Oh, the Amazon delivery man. Oh, yeah, that's in the notes. I just wanted to throw that one in. It was just quite funny. The other day we had an Amazon delivery man turn up at the back door, which is unusual. They normally come to the front door. And he rang the bell and he handed me the parcel. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, wrong door. And I said, yeah, that's all right. Normally it comes to the other. And he tried to take the parcel out of my hand. And I said, no, that's fine. It normally goes to the front, but that's fine at the back. And he said, no, wrong door. I said, yes, don't worry about it. And then he said, wrong door. And I looked at the parcel and it was for the next door neighbour. And he'd come to the wrong house. So I'm just thinking, it's like, you know, we speak the same language, but different. He was trying to say wrong house, and I thought he just meant the wrong door, and it made me laugh. Okay, next.
Fair enough, yeah. Well, since we last recorded, my life has been completely dominated by various health issues, the latest of which being dentistry. But initially, I set up the PSC Health MeWe group for people that had any sorts of health issues, actually. If you want to join in with that, anyone, there's a link in the show notes to that now. Mental health issues, physical health issues. I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, along with 10% of the population, apparently. And it was coming because I'm overweight and I'm the right age. And fortunately, in the first couple of weeks of doing what I'm supposed to do, that has been really well controlled now. So I'm not living much of a life doing it, but I have got it under control. So the medics are all happy with me. But yeah, loads of health stuff going on and less time for concentrating on things like podcasting. But hopefully we'll have enough in here for a show for everyone.
And another MeWe group. Yay!
Yeah. Links in the show notes to that. So do come and join us. You can be as open or as closed and free-speaking as you want to in there about any of your health issues. And so far, the engagement's been really good. That lots and lots of people are talking about what's wrong with them, some of them very openly, including myself, and getting good tips, advice and support from each other. So that's really good.
Moist, excellent indeed. By the way, I'm preparing a post on how I'm allergic to Ted Salmon. That's coming up.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm sure you'll get lots of engagement with that. I noticed in the week you posted something about wavy brick walls. And it reminded me of the West Dean Gardens down in Chichester, where I used to live. And I'm sure there's one of those in there. What was all that about?
I just spotted it. I think it just suddenly threw itself into my Instagram feed or something. I'm really not quite sure where or how I found it. But it's just fabulous. And it was basically saying that a wavy wall, a straight wall, can be susceptible to falling down and has to be built thick enough that it won't just lean over and fall. Whereas a wavy wall can be built with just one level of bricks throughout, because the fact that it waves supports it. It says upon the site, in England, it is not uncommon to see wavy brick walls. I've never seen one. Interestingly, the design uses fewer bricks than a straight wall. I just said that. A straight wall that is just one brick thick is not sturdy enough to stand alone and can be easily toppled, so they generally have a thickness of at least two or more layers of bricks and are also reinforced at regular intervals with vertical posts serving as buttresses. But a wavy one brick wall stands just fine on its own due to the arch support provided by its shape, which combines both wall and buttress. Such a structure is called a crinkle-crankle wall, the Old English version of zig-zag. And I remember commenting in the post that I'd learned not only about wavy walls, but I'd also learned that crinkle-crankle is a derivation of zigzag, which I really have no idea about. And it looks beautiful. I mean, it's aesthetically a very, very pleasing wall. You know, if I had some land, if I was Ian Barton, I would crinkle-crankle wall around the edges because I think it's lovely.
Yeah, it's very nice indeed. I wonder how much it would cost for someone to do it for you as opposed to a straight one.
Oh, you know me. Well, look, here's the thing. You know me. I want to go out and be Heath Robinson and do it myself. And it doesn't matter if it goes all wonky and wiggly, because that's how it's supposed to be. It's probably the best kind of do-it-yourself wall there is.
Can you just use ordinary bricks, though?
Yeah.
They're not special bricks.
I'm sure if you wanted to, you know, the Young People's Institute lectures, you could demonstrate it with pieces of paper. You could try to stand up two pieces of paper and they'd fall over. And then you just make one as a fan and stand it up. And lo and behold, it stands up by itself because it's crinkle-crankled.
Very good. Whatever works, eh? Good
Absolutely.
Stuff. It had to happen. Uh-oh. It had to happen. Nothing lasts forever. You know, we were talking about my Puckator snowman mug, which is my favourite mug, which I have for my coffee in the morning.
No, don't say it.
It was in the washing up bowl, and I was washing up something else over it, and this heavy thing in my hand dropped on it and just cracked the part of the top. I did try. I thought about repairing it with super glue, but it was beyond that, really. So anyway, we spoke about this a while ago, and I couldn't find one of these. Not exactly the same, but I had the impression that you did. You found one somewhere that you had to get from a non-Amazon source. Can you remember where it was?
I vaguely do. First of all, that's your Christmas buggered, by the way, Ted. I'm sure that's like breaking a mirror. yes, I did find it. What I did was I Google searched the picture, which you've put in our recording notes, and I'm sure we'll end up in the notes for people to see. And I Google searched that image, and I can't remember now. I mean, Alzheimer rocks. It was that I think I found the name of the woman who designed them, or the artist who produced them. And it was available on one or two other websites, and I remember one or two, somewhere it said out of stock, and there was one site that had did have it. So yeah, I would say you or I or anyone who feels up to, who feels like it can Google search that image and see what. Yeah. I mean, Google search. I love image search. I've started using it a little more now, and it's so damn clever. You know, if you if you see a picture of a building and you think, "Oh, that's nice. I wonder where that is," you just Google search it. Very clever.
Or now you can long on an Android Pixel phone. You can long press the navigation bar and use circle to search, and that works beautifully well as well. A bit like Google Lens, which is probably what you're using.
I don't know. I'm just using Google and saying I want to search with a picture.
Okay.
I'm a singer. Okay. What do I know?
Let's get some feedback from our lovely members from that lovely MeWe group, shall we?
And talk about being a singer, and I never wrote a logo. It's the feedback time. There we are. It's a nice short logo. Matthew Jones brings us cheap glasses. Good, Matthew. I love cheap glasses. I'm totally a fan of cheap glasses, says Matthew. I agree, says Aidan. I use them for precision sunglasses, he says, and I consider them almost disposable given the price you pay. Again, hear, hear, says Aidan. Quality can be a bit of a lottery, but my wife bought me a pair for driving that cost her just £12, and they were identical to her old pair, for which she had paid well over £100 the opticians. As for complicated prescriptions, Ted, which I remember you asked about in the group, Ted, you'd be surprised, he says. Me too. I occasionally get an A, are you quite sure that's right, email from the company, but once confirmed, it's never a problem. The only problem is that some opticians are reluctant to put your pupillary distance on your prescription. That can be a pain, but not the end of the world, as you can get a ruler and a mirror. I totally get what Matthew's saying. I mean, I'm sure I've talked about it on the show. I'm now wearing bifocals, and thank God, I only have one pair of glasses to worry about anymore. No, two, because I have a pair for the computer. But in the old days, just only weeks ago, I used to have glasses in every room, which I know we've talked about, Ted. And again, just like Matthew, I bought them on the web for £12, £15, £20 a pair, and I could have a pair in the bedroom, in the bathroom, in the kitchen, in the living room, so that I always could find a pair to grab when I needed to. So as says Matt, they're fine. You can't be certain they're going to be the most fantastic glasses in the world, but when you're only paying £15 a pair, you can afford to lose them or sit on them or discover they're not so good. So hear, hear, Matt. Well done. Cheap glasses.
Yeah. I had a look at my prescription, and sure enough, the pupil distance wasn't put on there. I had a look at the prescription from before that, and it wasn't on there either. So, fortunately, these companies that sell these glasses appear to supply you with a ruler, or at least show you exactly how to do it so that you can get it right. I'm sure that proper opticians would poo-poo the whole thing and say they can't be doing it properly. Well, you can't do it properly on your own. But obviously Matt has done. Have you done that?
Yes, not with the pupillary distance, but yes, as I just said, I actually took to Specsavers and put into their charity box 14 pairs of glasses that I've discarded.
But have you ever had to measure your pupil distance?
I've never measured my pupillary distance because, again, when I've had proper, in inverted commas, glasses, indeed, I sit in the optician's and I stare into her eyes and she marks the lens with a pen and does it all professionally. Like yourself, Ted, I've looked online and there are videos that teach you how to do it and, you know, in front of a mirror with a ruler. So I'd say go for it. And I remember in the last show, I was telling you I'd look up the cheap bifocals that I bought as a test for me before I went to Boots and paid a fortune. And I found again for you the thing, and I think it worked out at about £22, didn't it, for a pair of bifocals to your prescription that you can at least wear for a time to decide whether you want to take the plunge and buy professional ones.
The net result of all this, of course, is that we'll all have to go further and further and further to have our eyes tested in the future, because we'll be driving little opticians out of business, like the one in my town, who won't survive because everyone's getting their glasses this way, and then I'll end up going to Liverpool to have an eye test or something. So, you know,
it's the Amazon equivalent of opticians. Absolutely. Yes.
So two sides to every coin.
Do you know, I was driving with my mother yesterday, excuse me, and we drove through a town and we commented on how many hairdressers there are in the high street now. And I said, well, that's just one thing that you can't do online. You can't get your hair cut on the web. So there will always be a need for haircutters and nail salons.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Any hands-on services like that will just be...
Yes.
Because eventually, I suppose, they'll say to you, you can test your own eyes. Here's the kit. You buy the kit for 20 quid.
Oh, don't.
And you sit in a room and you... Here's a few lenses to twiggle around. Tell us what setting you've made them on.
Yeah.
And then we'll... Yeah, I can't imagine it would be the same. I'll tell you what. I did find a method that I might be able to get size 14 shoes.
Oh, at last!
Yeah, and this is the 3D printed shoes mold, and it's about to hit the market. And what 3D printing is all
absolutely
about.
Absolutely,
well,
sir.
They reckon that this new machine, some person called Asherak has designed this kind of way of making shoes to be pretty much whatever you stick your foot in the apparatus.
Yeah.
And you know, out comes a 3D pair of printed shoes. And actually, they don't look bad. You'd think that they would look crappy and horrible, but you know, and also because of the way it is, you can vary design and make them, you know, however you want them to be made. So yeah, interesting idea for the future. At the moment, it seems to be in a museum of future opportunities, but I've no doubt that if it's any good, it'll make it to people to use, like me to use.
It's incredible how much stuff is now being available to print at home. You know, eventually the whole Star Trek replicator thing will be a reality in our houses, and then the high street will have even less to offer because we'll just print everything we want in the privacy of our own home.
Exactly. No need to move. More diabetes for everyone, sitting on their asses doing nothing.
Absolutely. Here, listen, I got my FreeSat box up and running at last. Over the last few weeks, I've been talking about the Humax box dying and dying and dying. And then in the last show, I hinted that I finally got rid of it, took the plunge and bought a FreeSat box. Oh, I must be honest. My mother bought a FreeSat box. £229.99 for 500 gigabyte model. There are 1 terabyte and 2 terabyte models also available, as well as a non-recording version if you just want to watch live FreeSat. I don't have the prices for those, I'm afraid. Naughty me. Ow. It's fabulous. It works. It's in essence, it's the same as the Humax. It's just better and more stable. There is little more to say than that. The menu is very intuitive. I was worried, as I often am. I think I've said this on the show before. When I buy something like a radiator or a timer that's got a menu, I'm not good with menus and I'm not good with interpreting them. And I usually come a cropper and get very frustrated. And I was expecting the same with the FreeSat. But in actual fact, it was an intuitive menu. I had no trouble with it at all. Setup was a doddle. I mean, setup really was a breeze. It was just, there was a, do we say wizard anymore? Do we use the word wizard? There was a wizard to follow that just did everything for me. Do you want to do this? Yes, please. Do you want to do that? No, thank you. And the whole thing set up in just minutes, and it's up, off and rolling. It works the same as for those familiar with Humax. It's got the 2, 4, 8, 16, 32 forwards and backwards speeds. The only thing it's missing, and I do remember a very kind member of the group whose name I sadly forget, excuse me, did warn me in advance, so I was ready for this. You don't have what I found so useful and I miss very much, the jump, because on the Humax you've also got left and right sides of the forward and reverse buttons. You've got a jump that you can set to 30 seconds or 1 minute, so you can just spring forward. So if you've got an ad break, you just press 5 or 4 or 3, whatever the necessary number of presses of fast forward button, then you're straight through the ads. Now you have to go up to 32 speed and wait for them all to be passed. But that's a small price to pay for a system that really is much, much more reliable, much more sturdy. It's got a very nice remote, and I was very impressed with a lovely little feature that the remote control can learn the volume and on-off of your television. So I've programmed it for our Sony, so now I don't have to touch the television remote control at all unless I need to do something special. I can actually turn the TV on and off and control the volume with the FreeSat box's remote control. So yeah, I was very happy. As you know, I was a little bit nervous about going into it and dithered for several weeks before doing so, but I'm very glad I've got one, and I would recommend it. Although I read that FreeSat is slowly being phased out. There's actually a couple of channels fewer than there were a couple of weeks ago. And I believe that FreeSat is slowly going to be eased out, but then so's everything. So, no, I'm very happy with it. 230 quid for a FreeSat box. Cheaper half the price.
260 for the 1 terabyte and 300 for the 2 terabyte.
OK, and what about the one that doesn't record at all? Not that I could imagine many people wanting that. You might as well just buy an aerial, but... If you didn't want to record... yeah, okay. But if you don't want to record anything at all, if all you want to do is watch live telly like the good old days, then there is a box available for that too.
I don't see it on their website.
Okay.
So perhaps they've hidden it. They don't want people to buy those because they're too cheap, no doubt.
Yes.
Yes,
there
indeed.
It is.
Right.
And
well,
I know you were talking about possibly getting one for yourself at a later date. You know, I don't know if that's swayed you.
I think I've gone off the idea again now. I think I was telling you that I stayed at my mum's house for a night or two
a while ago.
That's
right, yes.
And I was playing with the channels on the telly, and I thought, oh, this is reminiscent, and there's so much stuff in here. But most of it was just crap anyway. And, I subsequently went back to what I was doing with streaming, and I really don't need live telly. So that got shelved, particularly if it's over 200 quid, they can forget it.
Well, as listeners will know from my whinge and moaning in the group on two separate threads, I can't stand streaming because there's absolutely no way of manipulating what you're watching forwards and backwards to any degree of sensitivity, and I just can't live with that. So for me, definitely recorded media is the way to go for me.
You're very old-fashioned. You're just like my dad, and that's exactly what he would say.
But I don't think it's to do with old-fashioned. I would be very, very happy to embrace streaming with open arms if it allowed me the minutiae of going forwards and backwards that I'm looking for.
So you keep saying.
But yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm backwards. That just means technology isn't keeping up, as somebody pointed out in the group.
Usually when things are not included like that, they've done their market research, and the vast majority of people don't want that feature, so they don't bother putting it in. If there was enough people to want that feature, there would be enough belly aching going on, and the company would respond and do it.
Yeah, but what's the point in saying people don't want that? This people does want that, please.
One person. So for one person who wants this, then they're going to completely change the whole of their hardware and their development.
No, not at all. But therefore, don't criticise that one person and call him being old-fashioned.
I didn't. They haven't done that.
No, you did.
Well, that's not... we're talking about the company, not me.
Right, Ahmed Beavers, come and save us from this lunacy. What's he got to say?
This is almost a kind of still using, in a sense, because Ahmed has found a grabber tool, which is very similar to the one that Steve Litchfield noticed some time ago. Steve's was the Key Koi grabber, which we covered in the show, and we actually got, and Mum is making good use of. This looks very similar. It's called the Yongle Folding Grabber Tool, a similarly 43-inch kind of same sort of size picker, litter picker it's kind of staged as.
Yeah.
But yeah, grab what you like with it, really. It's got a magnet on the end in the same way, a 360-degree rotating jaw at the end. And Ahmed bought it for an elderly family member. It's quite sturdy, long enough to pick up stuff from the floor with minimal need to lean forward.
Yes.
Can also grasp stuff at higher levels. The magnetized claw, which I just mentioned, is 10 centimeters in diameter, making it picking up all sorts of stuff a doddle. Folds up nicely and doesn't take up any space. Recommended, says Ahmed, 15 quid on our favorite shop. So didn't you get one of these for your mum as
well? My mum's got one, which she hasn't actually used. Don't even know where it is anymore, but we do own one somewhere. I see this is available in all sorts of chintzy colours, pink and orange and blue. But I tell you what, the USP for me is that magnet. I mean, that is a godsend to have a magnet on, because often you see something and there used to be, or there still are, these long poles. It's simply an extendable pole, like a car aerial, yeah, with a single magnet on the end, and you have to have two tools. But this has the magnet built in. Very good. Fiendish. I like it. Thank you, Ahmed.
Indeed. Well done.
Andrew Manning brings us a saddle stool. I don't think there's a horse with it. I think it's just the stool. It's £105, and it's good for my back, says Andrew. The chair I was sitting on when we were recording PSC last week was squeaking. It could probably do with some oil. Oh, that must be... Well, people say, well, what's that noise going on in the background? Oh, it's just me turning in my chair. I've used it for 3 years and found it helped posture and my back enormously. And there are lots of models to choose from. Having breaks from sitting on anything every 45 minutes is highly recommended too. Yes, don't sit... Whatever your chair's like, get up and move around every so often. Yeah, it looks... It looks like a stool. I mean, it is literally a stool. Actually, it looks like the sort of stool that someone like Liza Minnelli would sit on in a cabaret and sing New York, New York at you or something like that.
It's very much very nice. Like a, it is very much like a horse saddle, though. That's mm-hmm. how it's shaped and that's how it looks. Just the top bit, obviously.
Yes.
And my boss from years ago tried one of these, and she was a horsey woman, and she got one of these. And I remember her sitting on it at her desk for months on end. And she claimed the same as Andrew here, that it really helped her back and it was really good posture and blah, blah, blah. So on the back of this, I actually got one. I got it at a slightly reduced price from the £105 that it would appear to be. It's exactly the same as the one that I had, my boss had. And I have to agree, I'm not using it as my main chair at the moment, but when my main chair breaks, I'm going to swap them over, because I do spend quite a lot of time sitting on it now, and it's really good, and it feels really good. And I remember trying hers out at the time and thinking, yeah, I could probably get used to this. We did have a spell, as I think we said on the Whatever Works podcast at some point, of sitting on those gym balls instead of a office chair.
Oh, right. Oh, I used to do that. Yeah, they were fun.
Yeah, yeah. But this saddle chair, the saddle stool, works really well. So I'm in agreement with Andrew. And I when my chair breaks next time, I will certainly not be looking to buy another one, but it's switching to this full time.
Brilliant. I've got one that's similar but different. I've got one of these ones that's called a kneeling stool. So you sit and you kneel at the same time. And I guess it's quite similar to yours, except it tucks the legs underneath. So
yes,
it keeps your back straight that way. So I guess they're similar devices. And again, I find that one very good. The problem with the kneeling stool is I find after a lengthy time, I want to sit down in an ordinary chair afterwards. I hope you won't find that with the saddle.
Yeah, that might be true. I don't know, but then that might encourage you to get up and go for a walk.
Indeed.
Around.
Indeed, that's somebody needs to design a chair that starts sticking needles in your bum every 45 minutes, so you have to get up.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, now, as part of this health kick that I've been involved in,
yes,
I bought some scales to weigh myself, and I just thought I'd quickly mention them because they seem to be quite good. They're all right. They work. Renfro scales. I did some research. They were on special offer at the time, £17 instead of £30. Don't know what they are now. But they come with an app, of course, Bluetooth. They do all sorts of crap that I don't use, like body composition analyzer,
yes.
BMI, muscle mass track, LS1, whatever that is. So all I'm using it for is to weigh myself each morning, and the app works really well with that. You do need to be careful to put it on a solid surface, though, because I remembered from before that, you know, if you put scales on anything other than a solid flat surface, you do get wonky readings.
Yes, indeed.
But the app works really well. It translates the kilos or pounds that the scale is only available to read out in into stones and pounds on the app, which is a bit of annoying. If I had one complaint, that would be it. It'd be nice to see on the scales itself what the stones and pounds were.
Oh, you're so old-fashioned.
but the thing is, though, that if I could, there are two ways of doing it. It reads out in pounds, so you just divide that by 14. You don't really actually need the app to use these. You could just.
But does the app keep your daily record so you can look back over time and see how your weight has changed?
It can do, yeah. And it's supposed to talk to things like Samsung Health and to Apple Health and all that.
Oh, yes, yes.
But I haven't done any of that bollocks. I just look at it and see what I weigh. Anyway, yeah, if someone wants to go headlong into the whole tech side of it, it does all that as well. So, and some of them don't do that. Some of them don't. For instance, some of them don't talk to Samsung Health. I noticed that with my mum's one. She got a Xiaomi Mi set of scales a couple of years ago, and I noticed that one doesn't talk the data at least that's what Amazon says and that's what their website says. But maybe the newer Xiaomi ones now, I'm sure they probably do.
Yes,
but that's probably a bit older. Anyway, there you go. Renfro scales. If you're quick, you might get them cheap.
When you said talk, I thought you meant literally talk. They're just going, you sure is fat today. Oh dear. Matthew Jones brings us frozen mince pies. This was a great one. I told this to several friends in the Christmas business. I've discovered the weirdest thing, says Matthew. Sorry, Ted, it's not one for you right at this moment, he says in parentheses. Around Christmas time, a friend of mine on Facebook posted saying, try freezing your mince pies and eating them frozen. Don't defrost them. Thank me later. So, he says, I put a few in the freezer and then completely forgot about them. So today I found them again and decided to give them a try, expecting them to be rock solid and disgusting. But, au contraire, not only were they easy to eat and not at all icy, they were also absolutely delicious. Who knew, says Matthew. Wow. Yeah, and now, of course, we is full with people going, ah, shucks, we want to try this and we haven't got any mince pies and we can't. I'm certainly, the moment mince pies come into the shops, I'm going to chuck a packet in the freezer and hold Matt to ransom and see what they're like.
I should be interested in the feedback. So presumably, from what Matthew says, the middle bit is kind of soft-ish.
Yes.
Maybe a bit like eating frozen raspberries, which I do regularly.
Right.
They just kind of melt in your mouth almost.
There's a sort of Christmassy element to them being very cold. I'm sure I can absorb this into my Santa routine next Christmas. Thank you very much, Matt. Oh, you're on the nice list.
I wonder who bought it.
Bit of an inside job this time, because I think I do know who bought this.
Oh, yes.
Normally I don't, but I think it was we've got a birthday in our family coming up for my brother-in-law, and I think that he was really keen on one of these 3D jigsaw wooden puzzle kits that it's kind of the next stage on from jigsaws. Once you're bored with jigsaws,
yes,
you can do these 3D ones. So I'm fairly sure that the magic piano puzzle is one that one of my family members bought for my brother-in-law. On the back of that, I also bought him an electric guitar and amp version. Now, there are all sorts of different prices on these. The magic piano one, which looks absolutely lovely, is £40. The electric guitar and amp one is £16. Now, he got at Christmas, someone gave him a Swiss clock one, and we had a look at that one. And he's apparently had real good fun after he'd gone home making this. It does look really interesting. I guess that you need nimble fingers and good eyesight
to be able to do it.
Because I'm sure lots of the bits are very fiddly. Have you ever seen these or had a go at one of these?
I haven't, and I'm just looking through because I wondered if it was made of cardboard or what, but it does say it's made of natural wood.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
It does look fantastic, yes.
Very old-fashioned. Anyway, that's what's been bought on my Amazon affiliate link. As I say, a bit of an inside job this time, but you know where to go if you want to help me with that. It's tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. Anything you buy, I get a few pennies for, and I don't know who you are or who's bought it, but I do know what's been bought. So keep it going, everyone. I really appreciate your pennies. Usually ends up giving me about, on average, about £10 a month. So that's really helpful. Thank you to you all.
And thank you, Ted. Good tip.
Ted's top tips. Ted's top tips. Ted's top tips.
Talking of tips.
See what I did there? In the last couple of shows, we've talked about rechargeable tyre pumps. I think it was either yourself or Chris Kelly who started that one. And then we had quite a bit of talk back and forth about pumps. And it put me in mind that I need to check the battery of mine and make sure it's topped up. Because I remember you asked me what I thought of mine and I said, well, I haven't used it. It's been in the car for months. So I went out to the car and made sure that the battery was topped up. And I also set a bi-monthly alarm on my phone to remind me every 8 weeks to top it up. And that just put me in mind of a good tip for today. Any devices that you own, like tyre pumps or torches or tools or emergency phones or reserve power packs, anything that sits on standby lest you should need it, make sure that you regularly check the power level and if necessary top up the power level so you don't find yourself in a situation where you suddenly need to pump your car tyre or find your way in the dark or make that emergency phone call and your device doesn't have sufficient power to do so. So it's just keep those batteries topped up. If you've got devices on standby, it's wonderful if you don't need them, but when you do, you want to make sure there's power in the battery.
Indeed. And talking of which, that six cordless tire inflector I brought to the last show. Yes. I wasn't able to use it up when we spoke about it, but because my tires were nicely pumped up. So I did, since we last recorded, I did have a go at doing it. I thought, oh, maybe it's gone down by now. And it had gone down, you know, a very, very tiny amount. Yes. And sure enough, this thing kicked into action. Very noisy. But yeah,
oh, yes, they are, aren't they? They're very, very noisy. I mean,
yeah. So you can have it reading out in bars or PSI, and it just stops when you reach the PSI or bars that you've set. It's $29.99, just to remind you from last time. And I mean, I don't know how long the battery will last, of course, for something that sits there most of the time doing nothing. That's not a good formula for a lithium ion battery, as we know. But yeah, I suppose the best thing for it would be to use it more regularly and let it go down and charge it up again a bit. But anyway, yeah, it appears to work very nicely. And that was the one that was also recommended by Chris Kelly. So there's two of us giving that a shout.
Splendid. So while you read the messages you've just received, let's play a jingle.
Still using and still using.
Oh, dear listeners, the world is a strange place. Ted didn't know he'd had any messages. You and I heard it come through on the podcast, and yet Ted, who's in the same room, was blissfully unaware. Ain't technology weird?
It's not surprising, because I've got a pair of headphones on.
I know. I just find technology in the way that, you know, if I don't know, if I ask Google to tell my mother in her bedroom to do something, it goes via Los Angeles. You know, it just makes me smile the way the world works. Right, here's something a little more old-fashioned. Travel John disposable urinal. Three pack. I brought these onto the show in December 2019. You get three of them for £6.12. At least you do now. I don't know what it cost back then. I remember jokes about it costs a penny to spend a penny. Ha ha ha. I've only ever actually used one once. I was once caught short and made use of one in the car and was extremely impressed, because once the liquid goes into this thing, it immediately jellifies and becomes more of a solid and completely unspillable, and therefore easily disposable when you reach the, you know, somewhere where you can dispose of it safely. So I was very impressed. I've only used it the once, but just in case, I always keep one in the car for emergencies.
That's can it. You shit in it?
No, dear. Well, I mean, well, yes. I mean, you could shit in your glove compartment if you wanted to, but I don't think it would be an advisable idea.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Very nice. Yes, it is good. And certainly, you know, people I know travel with a, you know, older people travel with a bottle of some sort in the car. So that's even better. And it's not expensive, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, what's it, £2 a wee? No, that's fine.
Right, okay, my still using is Butterkissed microwave popcorn, which I brought to the show in May 17.
Yes.
Blimey, 7 years ago. Whatever works, 35. Now, before I had my health issues...
I was just going to say, he wonders why he's got diabetes. He's been eating butter popcorn for 7 years.
I'm not sure about popcorn, because in some quarters they say that popcorn is... you know, very healthy.
Yes.
I guess it's the sweet stuff.
It's the sugary buttery adding.
And this does come in sweet, salted butter and all that sort of thing. But if you just had popcorns and, corn and stick them in a frying pan and do it yourself, then perhaps, it is a healthy snack.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, these are, up until recently, I was eating these, and they're really nice. They were so tasty. £2.50 for a pack of three, and you stick the bag in the microwave, turn it on, listen to it go through its paces, and then just eat it. There's enough in one of these bags, at least for two people sitting in front of the telly and, you know, watching a film. When you finish, you start picking it all out of your teeth, I suppose. I've been talking about those for a long time, and I think they're really good and work great. You know, so easy to do and quick and easy, and works really well.
Brilliant. You know, you remind me coming in from a tangent. My favourite guilty pleasure, I was delighted to find out that it's healthier than I thought. Mine is chocolate-covered coffee beans. No surprise there, I'm sure. And I decided to look on Google to see how unhealthy these things were. And apparently they're one of the healthiest chocolates you can eat. because the coffee beans themselves are healthy in moderation, and there's only a small amount of chocolate covering each bean, and it's dark chocolate too. So there we go.
What, so you just eat them as they are?
Yeah. Have you never had chocolate-covered coffee beans?
No.
Mr. Salmon, you've never lived.
Well, you're eating the raw bean inside.
Yeah, this is the funny thing. If you put one in your mouth and you suck it till the chocolate's gone and all you've got in your mouth is a bean, and then you bite into the bean, it's tart and bitter and hard and you think, ugh. However, if you just pop it in your mouth and chew it as one, somehow the chocolate just has this ability to just mollify all the nastiness of the coffee bean, such as there might be. And it's beautiful. I love them. I love them. I eat more than I should.
Oh, never have...
Oh, Ted, you have to try chocolate-covered coffee beans. It's absolutely gorgeous.
I would never have thought that you could eat a coffee bean. I thought you'd have to grind it.
Ah, Chris Kelly will tell you all the ins and outs of why it works. And
I suppose your teeth are doing the grinding, aren't they?
Well, yes, I guess, but in the same way that your teeth grind anything that you eat. Anyway, move on.
The portable pill remover. Now, I got some blister packs in some tablets recently from the GP as part of my ongoing health saga.
Yeah.
And they were so tiny. Every time I took one out, I thought, this is such a fiddle. And I couldn't really get them out very easily. And then when I did get it out, it flew off the counter.
Yes.
And cleared. Anyway, so this little plastic pill popper machine thingy. Well, it's not a machine. It's just it's a bit of plastic, basically. You put the blister pack in between the two sides of the clamp on this thing, press down, and hey presto, it pops it out into the little basket underneath. And the basket rotates kind of away from it. And then you can just put the pill in your hand. Really simple idea. $5.99 for two, though I'm not sure why you'd want two of them. But anyway, £3 each. And they work really, really well, particularly as people get older or pills get smaller. And it does the job nicely. If fingers are not as nimble as they used to be to do this sort of thing, recommended for $5.99 for two.
Again, one wonders why you have to buy two. It's a shame you can't just buy one for £2.50, isn't it?
Exactly.
What a weird world.
There you go.
I want one of those.
I bring you an interesting one, Ted. I bring you an I want one of those, but it's surely also an instant room 101 combined. Let me explain. It's the Poppet Pop 100 pieces paper napkins compressed. They claim to be the size of a coin. They're a damn sight thicker than a coin. I should imagine, imagine sort of 4 pound coins in a pile. That's about the size of this thing. And it's a paper napkin. And it's very cute. And it looks like a lot of fun from the explanatory video I've linked to on YouTube. You pop this thing into water and it sort of grows and expands. And suddenly you've got a napkin. So you think, lovely, that's a nice idea. But then comes the 101 part, because why would anybody want a sodden napkin? What use is a napkin that's soaking wet? I suppose if you were cleaning things with it, you could say, OK, once you've soaked it, it's expanded and it's good for... So maybe you could carry some with you for cleaning your glasses, I suppose. But I mean...
But have you not had the experience in like Indian restaurants where they bring around a wet cloth?
Oh, yeah, but that's different. That's a warm, wet cleaning cloth. Yeah, I mean, I did wonder about that. I suppose you could wipe your face with it. Then you'd have to use warm water to expand it with. It really seems like a great idea that hasn't really been properly thought through. I love the idea of a compressed napkin. There are certain toys you can get for kids, aren't there, that you chuck into water and it turns into a fish or a whale or something. This is sort of similar idea. And I love the idea that you could have a whole load of them in your suitcase, but I don't quite know what you'd do with them when they've expanded. You'd have to dry them out on a radiator and it all becomes a bit stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, as you say, a nice idea, but perhaps not thought through very well.
Indeed, yes. I want one of room 101.
I really want a... We quite often do these precision screwdriver sets, but this is different because it's also a drill set. So there's enough torque in this thingy when you get the rechargeable USB-C battery going in order to actually drive a drill. Now, I wonder how many people have the need to drill tiny weeny holes in things every day. But, I mean, if you were someone that built computers or did modelling, supposing you did that 3D modelling thing.
Yeah,
all that sort of thing. So that could work really well. It's got a case, it's got 53 attachments to it, and as I say, rechargeable handle in the good old Xiaomi Mi type way. And it looks very similar to the one that we've featured before, but except that it's got these drill bits in it. And I think that that would be a really handy thing to have, just in case, you know, someday you might have a need, or, as we just described, you do have an ongoing need. It's £47, and I don't think I would buy one because I don't really have an everyday need or even an occasional need for it. But someone that did, those drill bits, I think, make the difference. And assuming they work well, and, you know, there's only 3 reviews on Amazon for this, but they're all kind of quite highly rating it. Anyway, there you go. Someone take one for the team and buy one. And someone that's got a need to do tiny weeny drilling.
It could very well be me, Ted. I'm falling in love with this thing. Because, as you know, I do various fiddly little jobs that sometimes would involve drilling tiny holes. I also initially wondered, why would you want an electric screwdriver for tiny little screws? Because if you're opening something like a pair of glasses, you need to do it with precision. However, if you decided to open up a computer and you're presented with 45 screws that all need unscrewing, then your electric screwdriver is a godsend. I'm very tempted, Ted. I may just take one for the team. Thank you.
There's a 10% voucher on that as well, so it's £42, I suppose.
Don't. Oh, quick, play another jingle.
Matthew Jones is back. Yours? On misleading sales pitches. This infuriates me, he says, and is by no means a PlusNet only thing. So he's quoting this PlusNet advert that he's seen in one of the social feeds.
Yes.
24-month contract, £24.99 a month, with a little disclaimer, the price goes up every year. Oh, I heard it that time. with a little disclaimer that the price goes up every year. Order today, and at the very most, only one of your bills will be $24.99. It's all very clear for us techies who know that how that works. But how on earth is this allowed to be advertised in this manner, says Matthew. You'd be totally forgiven thinking that you'd pay 24 times $24.99, when the reality is you will pay at the very most one times $24.99, and then at the very least 12 times $25.99. Yes. And then 11 months at £27. And almost certainly more. So, yeah, misleading sales pitches. I do agree, Matthew. They should have... You'd have thought by 2024, the advertising authorities would be onto this and make people do things properly, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think anything that says it's going to be X amount a month... Unfortunately, you just know that there will be something in the small print that allows them to just gently nudge it up bit by bit. You barely notice. And then 2 years later, you discover that you're paying twice as much and you hadn't even realised it was happening.
Yeah.
Very naughty.
Absolute con.
Indeed. I wonder if this is a con or whether this depends where you are and what your observation is. I'm not sure who popped this in. Was this one of yours, Ted, what I'm about to talk about here?
I found it online somewhere.
More councils in England and Wales plan to turn off streetlights. The majority of councils across England and Wales have introduced measures to dim or cut streetlights altogether over the past 15 years, some saving millions of pounds a year. Now, cash-strapped local authorities have increased the cuts in an effort to plug gaping holes in their budgets, with Croydon, Cornwall, Havering and Hampshire the latest to declare plans to switch off lights. Norfolk Council said that the cost of running its 54,000 streetlights had more than doubled in the last couple of years to about £4 million a year. Well, they should learn to turn them off during the daytime, shouldn't they? It has made savings of £15 million since 2008 by introducing more energy-efficient LED lighting, dimming some lights and switching off nearly 20,000 others between midnight and 5 a.m. It now intends to extend this to more streetlights and longer hours of darkness after consultations with police and local people. Yeah, it's a bugger. I mean, I can understand the suggestion of decreasing the hours if they're hours, which if it's sociably done. So did I just make up a word? but not turning them off altogether. No, come on now.
12 midnight till 5 a.m. So presumably they wouldn't turn them off like before the pubs kick out, surely. And midnight's not going to be much further after that. They could extend it to 6 a.m. I suppose. But it also depends on the time of year, of course, because in the summer where I live, it's only dark for about 5 hours, so they can save money there. I don't know.
Indeed, hence my struggling with saying sociably. Yeah. It should be done, as you say, after the pubs have chucked out. You know, I mean, OK, you don't need all the street lamps on at 4 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, there's got to be a mean somewhere between one and t'other that does make sense. But it does depend where you live. I mean, on our estate, the lights have always gone off at around midnight. And I've never given it a second thought because, you know, it's a quiet estate and everything stops around that sort of time. And so, again, we don't need lights on all through the night. Whereas if you're in Peckham High Street, for instance, you will probably do.
Yeah. I was reading a thing about daylight savings and why it is that everyone talks about always not changing the time and
yes.
changing the... And it all boils down to, apparently, when they tried it in the late 60s in America and in England, it all boils down to the number of increased fatalities and accidents of children going to school in the dark, and that's why they abandoned it apparently as an experiment to abolish it, and they brought it straight back when all this started to come out. So that seems to be the answer why every year we say this is stupid, let's stop it, but that's what it all boils back down to, allegedly.
Yes,
so related to streetlights, kind of.
Yeah, commuters versus farmers. It's all the sort of one end of the day, somebody wants there to be lights on or off. Yeah.
Don't start Judge Barton on that one.
You talking can't of please all the people all the time. Sorry, Ted, I cut across.
Talking of councils, I noticed recently when I started doing these steps that I'm supposed to do for my health thing, that the toilets littered around the council here in North Wales, which used to be just walk in and free. 50p now. 50p to go in and have a piss. And these are supposed to be public toilets, I guess. 50p. It's not as if you say, oh, if it's 10p, fair enough. But 50p. I guess what they'll say is that they're trying to keep local people's council tax down. So in charging tourism in North Wales particularly, we've spoken about this before and people have been quoting London railway stations being ridiculously expensive. But come on, in the arse end of North Wales, 50p for a piss. I just think that's a bit, you know, I guess they think that if you're not a tourist, then you can piss at home.
I guess it's different cultures. I mean, as you know, I've worked a lot in Europe, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and there it's absolutely standard that you pay for toilets when you are, and usually there's a person, there'll be a lady or a gentleman actually sat there with a pot and you pop some money in on your way out. And again, when I first experienced it, I used to moan and go, good Lord, I'd have to pay. God, have I got any money? But now it's just what you do. So I suppose it's just different cultures, different ways of doing things.
Indeed.
And I must say, the toilets are a ruddy sight nicer over there. So I hope at least Conway are using their 50p's to improve the toilets.
Yes, and I think they are, because to be fair, when I used to go in occasionally to use these toilets, they were grotty and horrible and not cleaned properly. But I haven't paid 50p yet to go and see if that's different, but I imagine it would. Certainly the outside of the building looks like it's better maintained. So, yeah, perhaps that's what it is.
You never know. You might go down there and give your 50p and you'll be greeted by Thai beauties to say, come this way, sir, and I'll have a fresh towel ready for you. And when you've finished, and you'll think, yeah, that's worth 50p.
Ian Barton is next on photo booths. Ah. I press the sign on the screen to start the process, he says, sitting inside the photo booth. No response. After several shoves at the button on the screen, things started to work. Each process through the various options took multiple prods on the screen to make anything happen. It asked me to insert my card to pay, but then there was a big warning saying that it only accepted debit cards and they had to be swiped, not inserted into the card holder, which wasn't working. There wasn't any instructions about where to swipe, but numerous swipes over the card reader finally worked. Sometime later, it did manage to get around to printing the photos, which looked okay in the end. But, yeah, it sounds a bit like the before 50p toilet kiosk, doesn't it? but, yeah, I've not used a photo booth for ages. But we move swiftly on, though, on the back of Judge Barton's item, onto a similar topic on Gold Star.
And the jingle just beautifully takes us through without any hesitation to Matthew Jones on the post office. Oh, the post office. Well, they've been in the news lately. What's Matthew got to say about them? When I went to renew my driving licence, I was quite surprised when, instead of being sent to a booth, see above, the lady behind the post office counter just wandered around from behind the counter, stood me against the wall and took a photo with her tablet. Amazing.
Pinned me up against the wall.
Well, yes. Amazing. He wrote it, I didn't. Amazingly simple and convenient. In the past, I've faffed around for ages trying to get the photos right on online applications, and even most frustratingly on postal ones where I've had my application returned due to a photo problem. So top marks to the post office for that.
Well, as Adrian Brain pointed out in the thread in MeWe, you can in fact do all of this online with a smartphone in hand, but still. And the last time we applied for a passport, it was a bit of a fiddle, but in the end we kind of got there. You've got to be very specific about how you take the photo.
They
do give you instructions, and after a couple of fails we got it right.
Yeah, and but again, as it indicates, technology sort of catching up and making things better. I say vive la human contact every time, even if it is the lady in the post office standing you against a wall. Oh, missus. Vive the, you know, I'm just, you can call me old-fashioned. Call me old-fashioned, darling. And I am. I like human contact now and again to go in and say hello and have a joke with them. I mean, we have a post office, which I've spoken about on the show before. Lovely, lovely, classic little corner post office run by a wonderful Indian family. And they're such fun, and I enjoy going in there and joking with them. And, I'd go in there and let her put me up against a wall and take my picture anytime.
Very good. Okay, we're done. It's another show in 3 weeks' time. Thank you, everyone, for chipping in with your thoughts, letting us know whatever works in your lives. Whateverworks.works is our website, where you'll find links to all this stuff, as well as in your podcatcher. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. Do join us in the MeWe group and let us know what's going on with you. Last word to you.
Yes, can you hear me at the back? I do hope my makeshift Heath Robinson-esque recording setup worked today and that you were able to hear me loud and clear and didn't hear too much audio detritus in the background.
In the meantime, we've got, as always, one last thing to say to you all. Don't forget, whatever works, works.